Let's pray.
Well, let me adjust this first a little higher. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we just ask that this time be put in your hands and you give me the words that you want people to hear and that those words find a place in the hearts of the people who need it. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts, and whatever's not, let it go its own way. Amen. I'm going to do my best to get through this sermon today, but I have to warn you in advance, I may break down and start crying at any point, because God is just too good for me to handle. It's overwhelming. So, at this point, I shouldn't be amazed at how God managed to sculpt experiences in such a way that they can be used for multiple purposes. I see it over and over, but it still catches me by surprise each time. If you take a look in your bulletins at the sermon title today, you can see a little mini example of what I mean. I love coming up with sermon titles because it's a chance to be clever, and I enjoy being clever. So today's sermon title, you can see, is The Sabbath, It's About Time. And that plays off of a few different things. First is the fact that the Sabbath itself is very much about time. It's about your time, and it's about the time that you set aside for God. But this title also works because of the situation of the sermon I'm giving. A couple weeks ago, I started a two-part series on the Sabbath. Then my wife's appendix ruptured, and so we spent the week in the hospital, and I didn't get to give the second half of that sermon. So I told Jeff, you know, we'll put it off till another time, and so it's about time kind of refers to the fact that it's about time I give you the second half of that sermon. But there's a third little meaning in there too, because as a society and as the church, we've gotten away from the Sabbath a lot. So in that regard, it's about time we get back to remembering it and that we get back to the commandment that we've been given. So one title used three different ways, and that's just what my limited intelligence could come up with to amuse myself. It's amazing to me when I could take one thing and use it for three things, but God is so much bigger than me. And he can take one thing and use it for an infinite amount of things. So many ways that it boggles our minds as human beings, often. Romans 28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." All things. Not just a few things, but all of them. Now this... I'm a big proponent of making sure you know where in Scripture things come from, so that you're not just looking at one verse and taking it out of context. But I also realize that when I sit up here and read a giant passage, people's eyes start to glaze over. So I've put all of that passage from Romans in a little printout on the table. You're welcome to go get it afterwards, and you can read it in context. You can see the whole thing. I'm not going to read it out loud for you today, but it's up to you if you want to do that or not. And that's kind of a small microcosm of a bigger idea, which is the word is always in our hands. It's up to us individually. It's tremendous that we have a leader like Jeff to share it with us. But at the end of the day, it's still our responsibility. So it's there if you want to read it. So what does this have to do with the Sabbath? Well, unfortunately, not much. And if you heard the first sermon on the Sabbath, my wife complained afterwards that it wasn't really about the Sabbath. I get distracted. You know, you get into the Bible when you start to prepare these sort of messages, and there's so much. It's so deep. It goes so far. And the Sabbath can't be done in 2 weeks. If I had 10 weeks, I'm not sure I could do it. I could spend years just telling you about all the intricacies of the Sabbath. But I have 1 week to tell you what I have to say, and so instead, today's sermon's going to be a little more of a testimony sermon. This past week, I put into God's hands what he wanted me to say. And I said, "Okay, Lord, the Sabbath's pretty complicated, so you tell me what you want me to say, And then I'll do that. I'll focus on that one thing. And he kept coming back to me and saying, all right, don't worry about it. And so I went through my week. And by Friday, I was getting a little concerned because I still hadn't gotten that clear message of, here's what I want you to tackle. But a couple weeks ago, or not weeks, but months, I did a sermon, if you will recall, on just giving it to God and saying, okay, Lord, I trust you. And he gave me the words at the last minute. And that helped prepare me. And when Jeff was talking about Cheryl's surgery and how it went better this time, because she was prepared, that's what he does. Keeps preparing us. He gives us a little bit more each time so that we can keep having a little more faith. And so Friday rolled around and I was like, all right, I'm still waiting and I'm okay with it. And so as I started preparing the sermon, I checked my messages because Barb every week leaves me the hymns in a message so that I have it to write down in the bulletin. And as I was putting it into the bulletin, she said, just so you know, Ben is going to be playing the bagpipes. And so we're going to do two rounds of Amazing Grace on bagpipes, then we're going to sing Amazing Grace, and then he'll finish up with another round of bagpipes. And that's okay. We have more bagpipes coming, so it's all right. And so when I heard that, I was like, well, at first I was really excited because my wife graduated from a college that has a Scottish background, and so every year we go up to Idyllwild and we go to a Scottish festival, and it's one of my favorite days of the year. I call it my second Christmas. And so at this point in my life, I really like bagpipe music. And that's not something everybody says, but it is for me, so I was really excited about it. And then also, I realized that, okay, if there's two extra verses, essentially, of Amazing Grace, all three, that one we missed, that's going to eat up some sermon time, because let's face it, we're not going to cut back on praises and prayer concerns, and we're not going to cut back on greet your neighbor time. So it usually ends up needing to come out of the sermon. So, all right, that's all right. You know, I'll just have to cut it down a little. It's still too much to fit into 1 week, but I'll cut it down. And then I got a text message from Jeff, and it said, don't forget communion coming right before the sermon, and get grape juice and bread. And I was like, okay. Well, there's a little more that I got to cut out. And then it all crystallized. Because God just kind of said, hey, look, I don't need you to do any one specific thing. I can use it all. And so it stopped being about the Sabbath. And instead it became about how we really like to control things, but you don't have to. Because whatever it is that he's calling you to do, he'll prepare you for it, he'll give you the means to do it, and then he'll use it, whatever it is. Even if it's me standing up here crying my eyes out, he'll use it. And this morning, I was just overwhelmed by it, and I got up before my alarm went off, and I was just sobbing. And then I went and took a shower, and I started thinking about what I was going to say today. And I just broke down in tears. And I just stood there, just sobbing because of glory. And one time, I don't remember the exact situation, but I was crying in the back room many years ago. Well, maybe not many, but it seems like many. And Mark came over and asked what was wrong. And he put his arm on my shoulder, and it was just really comforting. And I could just see that in that moment, somebody coming over to me who loved me and saying, what's wrong? And me being able to say, nothing, nothing is wrong. It's exactly how it should be. And it's such a blessing to be able to experience that joy. And I will take it as much as he will give it to me. And I will sob as much as he will let me sob, because his glory is overwhelming to me. So, because we have more bagpipes coming up, let me wrap up with this. There will be sermons in the future, hopefully, about the Sabbath. It may be me, it may be one of you, it may be Jeff, I don't know who will give them. It's very deep, and I highly recommend that you go in and you look at it. I will read to you the commandment one more time, so that we can be refreshed on it and go out and think about it today. From Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or your daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. I really enjoy having a question at the end of sermons, and I wanted to close with this question, and even though the sermon wasn't on the Sabbath, really, I want to close with that question anyway, which is this, and I want you to think about it. If God came before you today and said, I want you to start remembering the Sabbath in the way that the Bible says, where you can't do any work, where it is completely set aside for me. Well, first, could you do that? That's a question in itself, because many of us have to work certain days of the week, and that's part of life. But beyond that, would you do it? And before you answer right away, sit and think about it and pray about it, because I know I would really struggle with that if I had to rearrange my entire life around 24 hours where I was not allowed to do anything and just be with God. It sounds glorious, and I don't know why I don't do it, but it's also hard, especially in today's world. So as we go out this week, sit with that question. I'm not telling you that God's telling you to do that. I read what it said in here. That's what it says. But I'm not telling you what he's telling you. That's between you and him. If he's telling you that, though, think about that, because it's important stuff. Amen.